chapter, but we're looking at worshiping God, one of the most famous verses in Habakkuk. There are some key verses here in such a little book that nobody knows about. The key verse on sin, Habakkuk 1:13, God is a purer eyes than to behold evil. Verse on salvation, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. The verse on success we did last Sunday, 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Verse on the church's strategy, chapter 3, verse 2. We'll get to that probably in 6 weeks because we got a lot of stuff to do in between. There's Valentine's Day and there's Lord's Supper and there's Easter and some other things. Revive us, O Lord, in the midst of years. It's one of the verses in the Old Testament that talks about revival. But we want to look at the last verse of chapter 2, which is a call to worship. Chapter 2, verse 20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When I was a little boy and we went to Baptist churches in caves, now, you know, my students believe that. I say, you know, when I was in high school, we went to school in caves, and they halfway believe it, you know. I told them one time I saw Martin Luther King give the I Have a Dream speech live on TV, and one of the students said, "How old are you? Wasn't that right after the Civil War?" Yeah. So when I was a little boy, our choir used to sing that. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the world keep. And that used to be in the 56th hymnal, all right? The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the world keep silence before him. Now, first thing we have to do with this verse is to look at the context. So let's back up two verses. The context is the idol worship in the nation of Israel. Verse 18, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But, another one of the big buts of the Bible, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Verse 19, there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The word for graven image is pesel in Hebrew, an image carved out of wood or stone. The molten image, masaka, an image cast in metal. It's interesting that people can worship things that they've made themselves. You know, I bet if I threw a shoe somewhere, someone would worship the shoe. You know, people are just prone to worship anything but God. Someone asked an old Scottish Puritan one time, "What's an idol?" And he said, "Aye, laddie, it be anything that's not the Lord that's important in your life." What's an idol? Anything that's more important than God. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. 1 John is about the love of God. The word love appears 32 times in the book of 1 John, but the very last verse of the whole letter is 1 John 5:21. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. Someone said, God is not a luxury, God is a necessity. When a man loses faith in God, he worships humanity. When that fails, he worships science. When science fails, man worships himself. At the altar of his own idolatry, he becomes vain. Self-centered and self-possessed, he is unable to get himself off of his hands. Yeah. You know what? God small enough for us to understand is not big enough to help us with our problems. God is awesome. God is majestic. God is on his holy throne in his temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. Fyodor Dostoevsky, the great Russian novelist, wrote, and I took a long time practicing to be able to say Dostoevsky, all right? Fyodor Dostoevsky. A man who bows down to nothing can never bear the burden of himself. A God small enough for us to understand is not big enough to help us with our problems. Now, you know Hebrew poetry has two lines. Synthetic poetry, the second line repeats the first line in different words. Antithetic poetry, the second line says the opposite of the first line. This is climactic poetry, climactic parallelism. Two lines. But the Lord is in his holy temple, line number one. Then there's a bigger climax in the second line. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple, that's a statement of fact. How are we supposed to respond to God? Well, keep silence. Be in awe before him. He created the universe. He created us. He designed the world. We are supposed to have reverence and awe. I blame Bill Gaither. All right? You like Bill Gaither. I like Bill Gaither. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's casual. No. We are in the presence of the creator of the universe. We are in the presence of someone that could end this world like that, and he doesn't. He sustains it. You know, we have so much to say instead of listening. I think that's one reason the Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. It's because we have a lot to say and we don't listen to God very much. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the world keep silence before him. God speaks through hurricanes. He speaks through storms. But he also speaks through the still, small voice in our hearts. Moses in front of the burning bush. Moses didn't know what to do, so the bush told him to take off his shoes. I don't recommend anybody take off their shoes in here. Some people like to sing in the choir because they get to take their shoes off, but we don't do that much anymore. Reverence before the burning bush. It was burning but not consumed, and God spoke out of it. I am that I am. Reverence and awe for God. Joshua walking around the camp in front of Jericho, and he runs into a great big guy with a sword in his hand. And are you for us or against us? And he said, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. And I believe that's an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. And he said, take off thy shoes and worship me in awe before God. David, man after God's own heart, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. A God small enough for us to understand is not big enough to help us. But yet, you know, so many people in this world try to be their own savior. Either Jesus is your savior or you're trying to save yourself. Either God is God or you've got another God in your life. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. There were two men in an insane asylum. One guy had a funny French hat on, so a person walked up to him and said, who are you? He said, I'm Napoleon. He said, really? How do you know? He said, God told me. The man next to him said, I did not. We have a lot of people that want to try to play God in their own lives and make gods in their own lives instead of worshiping God. That's the context, idolatry. You can worship an idol or you can worship God. But the second question is, where does God live? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. If you study the Bible, there's a theme in the Bible that God always lives in a three-part house. God always lives in a three-part house. You look in Exodus 25, God told the Israelites to build a tent, a tabernacle. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. This is the offering which we shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and it lists the building materials, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. There was a court. There was the Holy of Holies and the holy place. It was three parts to the tabernacle. Exodus 29, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify Aaron and his sons for me to be priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Israel, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. God lived in a three-part house in the tabernacle. Then when they built the temple, God lived in the temple. That was his throne. God doesn't live in a temple today because you and I are the temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. A lady came up to G. Campbell Morgan. He was pastor of Westminster Chapel in London. Famous Bible teacher, wry sense of humor. This lady comes up and says, "Oh, Dr. Morgan, the young people are chewing gum in the sanctuary." He looked at her and said, "No, madam, the sanctuaries are chewing the gum." Christ in you, the hope of glory. God always lives in a three-part house. You and I are body, soul, and spirit. Where he lived in the tabernacle, his presence. Where he lived in the temple, his presence. God lives inside us now. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray that you be strengthened in your spirit and your soul and your body. God lives in a three-part house. He lives inside us, each one of us. That is the New Testament grace and the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. John 14:20, Jesus said, "In that day, I shall be in my Father shall be in me, and I shall be in you." The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. God lives inside us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. So, what's the context? Where does God live? What do we sacrifice? In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were physical. So much physical in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's spiritual. The prophets pointed toward this. The sacrifice of obedience, 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." We sacrifice to God by living in obedience to him. We repent, Psalm 51. "Thou desirest not sacrifices, else I would give it. Thou desirest not a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Mercy. Growing in your knowledge of God. Hosea 6:6. "I have desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And that's why we're supposed to keep growing as Christians till we die. You know, retirement for Christians is heaven. You don't retire on God in the world. You retire on God when you get to heaven. We got stuff to do down here. The sacrifice of praise, and that's what we do here. You can praise privately, or we can praise together as a group of believers. Hebrews 13:15, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God." Sacrifice of service. Paul said, "I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and I rejoice with you all." Then there's the sacrifice of supporting God's work. And some of you give sacrificially. I need to congratulate you as a church. The end of 2014, the church ended up with $10,000 more in the bank than it had at the end of 2013. Okay? Praise God. And we supported missions all over the world. Epaphroditus from Philippi brought Paul a gift to support him in his ministry at Rome. Philippians 4:18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent for you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We sacrifice to God when we give, when we support his work. Mike Murdoch says, when you turn loose of what's in your hand, God turns loose of what's in his hand. You cannot outgive God. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that my house might be full. And we do. And we worship God as much when we drop something in the offering plate as that we do when we sing a hymn. Giving is a worship to God. What's the context? God is real. God versus the gods of this world. What is the commitment that we make? We worship him. Is the world going to hell around us? Yeah, we would say so. I don't know if it's any worse than any other generation, but this is the generation we're looking in. So the way we see it, things are pretty bad, guys. But God is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. I had a friend that something bad would happen and I'd be all upset, and he'd say, okay, Singletary, just remember, God hasn't fallen off of his throne. You know what? This building could burn down. You know what? God didn't fall off his throne. Didn't fall off his throne last time it burned down. You know, bad things could happen in the world. You know what? God didn't fall off his throne, and he's not going to. God is still on his throne, and he's still running the universe. We always need to remember that. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. When was the War of 1812? Yeah, I have students that don't know that. War of 1812 lasted 2.5 years. Ended with the Treaty of Ghent. We fought Great Britain for the second time in 30 years and won. But on August 24th, 1814... they burned down Washington, D.C. They burned down the White House. President Madison, Dolly Madison grabbed the big portrait of George Washington and saved it from the fire. Okay. Not only did they set fire to the White House, they came back the second day and put fuel on it so it would burn longer. They burned down the Congress, the Capitol building. They burned the Library of Congress. They burned the Navy Yard. Of course, right after that, they bombarded Fort McHenry, and Francis Scott Key saw that. The war ended. Buildings were rebuilt better than they were before. Thomas Jefferson donated his personal library from Monticello to become the core of the new Library of Congress. We rebuilt the lighthouse, and Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Truly, the verse in the Bible, I will give you beauty for ashes. Out of the ashes of a burned Washington, we have beautiful capital today. And it reminds us that no matter how bad things look, God can remake things better. Let me read this to you. Men of God look upon the waste and ruin wrought in the world by sin, the soul suffering, and the general destitution of a sin-cursed humanity. They look from this to the vision of redemption and restoration which stands out in the pages of Bible prophecy. They catch the master spirit. They lay hold upon the means and opportunities for service, and with faith and courage go out to assist in the making of all things new and glorious. God can make all things new. He needs us to do it. We are God's hands in this world. God is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. He's still on the throne. And every day we need to get up, and no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad we feel or what else is going on, we need to remind ourselves that God is real. He's still there. And even though sometimes we can't see God, God can always see us. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 296, Jesus is Lord of All. It's our invitation hymn. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 296.